Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walters Show. We have such a packed program today, hard to believe. We're going to cover four topics: repentance, COVID, race, and abortion. If we can get to all of them, I've got to move through these quickly today. I do want to mention, if you want to reach me, you can, robinwaltershow@gmail.com. robinwaltershow@gmail.com. And if you want to get this via podcast, it would be The Robin Walter Show is how you type it into your podcast provider of choice, be that Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever. All right. Okay, let's get rolling here. Good news. I like to try to start with good news, end with good news if I can't hang on in between, because it can get rough. But what I like is the fact that Scripture says that there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Now, that sort of scares me about some things that I've done that, you know, nobody knows about except God. But we all have those things. But it says in Ephesians to expose the works of darkness. So to me, frankly, I'm thrilled when the news comes out and finally Mario Cuomo gets exposed after he's been exposing himself. Then Chris Cuomo, his derelict brother, gets exposed. And now we have this accidental release of the plane log for Jeffrey Epstein, all these people and the Hollywood people that have flown to Epstein's little Sin Island. And those names are coming out. So it's great when bad stuff gets revealed, when the flashlight is shined on, or underneath, I should say, that refrigerator of the wicked. We see just really what's under their refrigerator. Well, okay, so we're going to start with, as I said, this is going to be repentance, COVID, race, and abortion. I'm going to start with a bit of repentance here, an apology of sorts, because last week I got a little carried away. I won't deny that. Not that I regretted the facts that I included. I regret the way that I said some of the things, because I was simply angry. At some points, I moved from the spirit off into the flesh. Some of the name-calling wasn't justified. You say, well, it's just some. Yeah, only some of the name-calling is not justified. And I'll explain that in a minute. But I do want to apologize that the injustices of today caused me to get carried away a bit. That's right. I mean, you know, the flesh can take over and the anger. Now, it does say to be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry at sin. It depends upon how you go about it. And there's some things you can do, some things you should not do. And I think I went a little bit overboard listening to some of what I said and the manner in which I said it and some of the name calling, which I've got to kind of pull back on. All right. I can say, but what was overtaking me a bit was that these gross injustices, led by the fact that the media can't call the Daryl Brooks racist slaughter of a bunch of whites, the domestic hate crime, the terroristic hate crime that Daryl Brooks committed. In fact, if you want to check this out, read Newt Gingrich's article, Waukesha, the Shame of the Media. Read what Candace Owens said, which, in fact, maybe I'll excerpt a bit of her later in the program on Tucker Carlson. This gal's got it together. I love this woman as far as what she stands for, the encouragement she's giving others to come out of, to come off the plantation, basically. But what had gripped me was, I mean, and was this anger that's rooted in this sense of injustice and how people get away with stuff. And it took me back in my time of repentance to Psalm 73. Where David writing, or says a psalm of Asaph, says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Their pride encompasses them about like a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness." I want to stop here for just a second. One of the most evil people in Congress we have is Adam Schiff, and this guy's got bulging eyes. And I thought this was interesting. This says their eyes stand out with fatness. Because I once saw this picture. It said twins separated at birth, and it was a shot of Adam Schiff on the left and Don Knotts from Andy of Mayberry on the right, both with the bulging eyes. I thought it was pretty humorous. But it says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. The left has everything they want, it seems like, doesn't it? They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. And they speak loftily. In other words, they speak like they don't commit it, they're above it, but they wax eloquent in the attempt to accuse others of oppression when in fact they're the oppressors. Sorry, I'm just giving you the way that I read this. They set their mouth against the heavens. Do they not? Yeah, they speak against God and everything righteous. Their tongue walks through the earth. In other words, how far can the righteous get with getting the word out? Not very far. We have a hard time getting it out because the left controls the media. So they walk through the earth with their lies. It says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak this way, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." Isn't that where we are? There's hardly anything we can say without offending people. I'm going to say some things today that will probably offend maybe more people than normal. "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They're utterly consumed with terror, as a dream when one awakeneth. Oh, so, Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." Isn't that amazing? Okay, so I'm getting angry. Okay, I like to say I'm angry and sin not, but there's certain spots of name calling I got to stop with that aren't based in fact, and that's the point. But then because I have the same frustration at the injustices and the wicked, and they own the media, and their lies walk across the earth, and they oppress people with their wickedness, but accusing others of being wicked while they speak lawfully and condescendingly towards the righteous. But in the end, what happens? It says, in the end, that the Lord will awaken. Not that he's asleep. In other words, he'll just take notice. Their day comes. And it says that the Lord will despise their image. Isn't that amazing? God himself will not be able to even stand looking at these people. Sorry, that's what it says. Despise their very image. Their very appearance will be despicable in the eyes of God. I said, okay, well, vengeance does belong to you, O Lord, and so I've got to give place to that. But a couple things that I do need to say in addition to this, I've looked at the examples of the unfairness and things, and there is unfairness all over the place. John the Baptist, was he treated fairly? No, of course not. No, not in any way, shape, or form. He did that which is right, and he lost his head. But trust me, he's got a reward in heaven that's huge. Even Jesus said there's no greater prophet. And how did Jesus react when he heard the news that John had been beheaded? He went off into a desert place, and he prayed and spent some time. And how did he get back at the devil for what was allowed to be done to John the Baptist? It was allowed. He went out and administered, and he healed people who were oppressed of the devil, of deafness, muteness, lameness, raising the dead. The way Jesus dealt with the injustice was to go out and do good, and in so doing good, he wreaked havoc on the enemy. That's right. He went out and he did to the enemy much more than the enemy had done to his own. John the Baptist, Jesus' second cousin. That's what he was. He was Jesus' second cousin. But that shouldn't mean anything to do. Is he not a brother to us? That's what it says, which is closer than second cousins. The kinship with Jesus is closer by blood, meaning his blood, than it was to John the Baptist by John the Baptist's blood, which was natural blood. Okay, last thing on this point is, having all that I said, there's much that I do not apologize for. Joe Biden does have blood on his hands, his lips, his teeth. He drips blood. He runs off to console the people that were the families of the four students shot in Michigan, which is worth consoling. But does he dare to go to Waukesha? No. Jumping Joe. Joe, I'm your left-wing puppet. Now, I can say that because why? It's true. Biden, he doesn't dare to go to Waukesha, because it's going to ruin the little left-wing narrative that we can't obviously bring fact that we have this black, demonically possessed racist who mows down and kills 6 whites and injures 60 others, and we know he's racist. We have his tweets. He hated whites. And he mowed down a woman just a few weeks earlier with his car, and he's out on cheap bail because $1,000, because why? Because anything less than cheap bail these days becomes mass incarceration. Heard that phrase before? So I don't apologize for much of the name-calling, because much of the name-calling was true. You see, Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he called them hypocrites. He called them whitewashed sepulchers. He called them, you brood of vipers. He called Herod a fox. Why could he say those things? Because they were true. So when I call Joe, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden, is not a matter of speaking evil of the ruler, which is forbidden in Scripture. I am speaking truth. Yeah, that's right. And Joe keeps popping up in Scripture. Because is Joe a hypocrite? Can I call Joe a hypocrite? Absolutely, I can call him a hypocrite. Well, why can I call him a hypocrite? Well, I'm glad you asked, because let me show you. Joe says, you got a mask. We're extending the vaccination mandate. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to do all that. We got to do it. We may end up require people to be vaccinated to get on planes. We may have to do that. Don't know what's ahead, but I got to do more. So then Joe, after telling everybody they got to be masked up, goes to a social function. Is he wearing a mask? Of course not. Well, so how does Scripture apply to Joe in the way which gives me the justification to call him a hypocrite? It comes out of Matthew 23, verse 1. It says, then spake Jesus to the multitude of his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they observe, they bid you to observe, do. But don't do what they do. In other words, you observe and do what you're told to do, but don't do after their works, for they say something and they do not do it. For what do? They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. True? Absolutely true. Barack Obama's a hypocrite. Lay the burden of Obamacare on everybody, but then exempt Congress and himself from the burden of Obamacare. No, he's got some Cadillac health care plan like the rest of Congress does, but we're stuck with crappy Obamacare, which doubled my premiums in 12 months. That's the price I get to pay for trying to stay healthy. Joe Biden, no different. Mask up, do this, get vaccinated. Then he goes out and has a social function, and he's running around with no mask. For they bind burdens and grievous to be borne on the people and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's why I can call Joey, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. Joey, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. And why I can call him a hypocrite, because what he is. Okay, that's the end of the good news and the repentance all in one step. Oh, just one other thing I got to mention here. No, you know what? It's hypocritical, but it moves into the next piece, which we're now on to the COVID part. So in this extended mask mandate, because of the Omicron, or how Omicron, however you want to say it, it's sort of a nothing. They said it's really mild. Whatever. Here's what the White House said. Quote, we believe that the currently authorized, in other words, note, we believe. They don't have any facts. It's just we believe. This is just their take. It's their spin. It's a left-wing spin on this. We believe that the currently authorized vaccine provide at least some protection against the new strain, and the booster shots strengthen this protection significantly. Significantly, yeah, for about 3 months. That's all. 3 or 4 months, and then it wears off. So catch this. I mean, this is sort of like multiplying fractions. So what happens if you multiply 50% times 50% times 50%? What do you end up with? Well, you end up with 12.5%. You end up with a distinct minority in the sense of that equation being correct or being in the majority opinion. You say, well, there's a 50% chance of this happening, which is a 50% chance of that, and a 50% chance of that. Well, that means there's a 12.5% chance of what you said actually being true. So when the White House says that it believes, i.e. it doesn't really know, that it will provide at least, minimally, some protection against the new strain, they don't know jack. They don't know jack's crap, squat, diddly, what they're talking about. It's like multiplying fractions. You get down to what they're saying, having a very minimal possibility of actually being true. And the fact is that one out of every three people dying of COVID today has already been doubly vaxxed. When they say, well, yeah, but there's two-thirds of the people are unvaccinated that are dying. Well, that may be true. But the unvaccinated are not dying of the vaccine. Let's add that number into it, okay? So how many people die of the vaccine? Add that to the number of the people who have been fully vaccinated and are dying of COVID. So you have one-third of the deaths, plus a number we don't know because they won't tell us how many people have died from the vaccine, although, as I covered last week, it's in the tens of thousands. Add that up, and we'll get to more likely the real number. And considering the fact that more people will die of the of COVID in the future that have been vaccinated because we're in the process of those vaccines wearing off. The only way they can say is there's going to be significant protection is if you get the booster, the same old piece of crap that you got before, which will wear off like the other one. So you're just on the booster merry-go-round, and every time you get the booster shot, you do a reset of the period of time within which there's a greater probability of dying or having severe consequences as a result of the shot. Every time you take a shot, you have the potential consequences from that shot. Six boosters is six times to die. Ivermectin, the wife of a New York County man on death's doorstep from COVID, has to sue the hospital to be able to use the drug. Incredible. So the hospitals will not allow ivermectin to be used. Now, I want to tell you, here's the problem. Because of the testimonies of people who have been at death's door and have recovered with ivermectin, the hospitals aren't concerned that ivermectin will not work. The hospitals are concerned that it will work. Guess what? Gig is up. No more control, Joey. I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. No more scare and fear. And fear is the real pandemic. Can't use that to control us anymore. So if we have some cheap thing that will take care of us, then Pfizer go bust. I want the federal government to take over Pfizer. Okay, how about this one? Then we're going to be done with, well, not quite. Man here, poor 49-year-old Texan Bobby Bolin. He was forced to be vaccinated in order to get a lung transplant. They would not let him get a lung transplant to save his life. But guess what? So he gets a second shot of Moderna that he has to have to get his lung transplant. And instead of dying for a failure to get a lung transplant, he dies from the Moderna shot. Germany. They're pushing. They're now lockdown in Germany, as in Austria. If you're not vaccinated, you don't get to go out except to buy food. I will say this. The way it's going, if you've got unused frequent flyer miles, use them up. Please, use them up. They're going to be gone. I'm going to hurry up and make some flights and see some people I need to see. I got some miles to use up because I'm not getting the vaccination, so to speak. But the piece that is really critical that has come out today, or a couple days ago, from the Center for Deception and Control, is this. They have now admitted that the COVID shots have no effect on virus transmission. Now, we knew this. We speculated this. We just knew in our knowers. But where did this story start out? It started out, get the vaccination and you'll be protected and you won't receive it, nor will you transmit it. Lie. Lie, lie, lie. We knew it was a lie. And then they went to, there's some protection from getting it and some reduced transmissibility. So make sure you still get the shot because it will reduce the probability of getting it and the probability of transmitting it. And now that was a lie. Now we know absolutely zero prevention of getting and transmitting COVID by virtue of having the vaccine. Like I said, the only reason the unvaccinated deaths are higher than the vaccinated deaths from COVID is because the vaccine people are in the process of having theirs wear off. We will get to the point, mark my words, that the great majority of the deaths will be people who have been vaccinated. Because those who have gotten it and recovered are naturally immune. They will not get it again. We don't have any cases of that, do we? No, we don't. Well, okay, there's two down, two to go. Race and abortion. I mentioned last week that I was going to do the piece today on the plague of black racism. I'm not going to do that for the whole hour. I'm going to set aside about 15 minutes because I want to get to the abortion piece today because that is clearly important too. But as I mentioned a little bit earlier, this is not an issue about being anti-black or pro-white. It is an issue of truth. It's an issue of fact. And this is like Joe Friday, the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Knock off all the spin stuff. Get out of the washing machine. Turn off the spin cycle here and get down to the facts. If the facts bother you, what I'm going to say, it's just too bad. I am a factual guy. I don't care who I offend with the truth. Got that? I don't care who I offend with the truth. My black brothers and sisters know who I am. I have a lot of you out there, but if it's going to bother some of you, I'm sorry. It just, here's the facts. But black on white crime is outrageous. It's over the top. And I am going to give you things just from the last few days to prove my point, how the media will not cover anything that involves the exposure of a black-on-white crime, much like they have ignored the racial connotations of the black racist committing domestic hate crime terrorism against a bunch of whites in Waukesha. Okay, let's just start. This is the last couple days, and I will prove my point. So, you have this Jacqueline Avant, okay, who is killed in her home in Beverly Hills. They got the guy. They finally got him. Ariel Maynor is arrested in the connection with the shooting. Absolutely. Do they mention Ariel? Do they mention Ariel's race in this story? No. They specifically do not mention his race. If he were a white man that broke in and shot a black person, it would be all over the news for the next 3 months. That's why we only hear about a few stories of like that, because there are only a few stories, and they need to report on them week after week to keep them alive. But you won't hear much about this. So, what's the race of Ariel Maynor? They didn't tell you. I had to search around. I got a picture of the guy. Yeah, he's black, as I knew he was, because they wouldn't reveal his race. That's the key today. When they don't tell you, then you have a clue. I mean, this is just, it's, okay, just jump from that to, what's the next one? Ryan Rogers, 14-year-old boy who's ruthlessly murdered here in Florida. The police have now have the suspect in custody as of just a couple of days ago. Do they tell you who the suspect is? Finally, do they tell you his race? No. Ryan Rogers is a 14-year-old white boy. And guess what? I found his picture because he really is 14. This is not the Trayvon Martin crapola where you basically have a young thug who they don't tell you that, but they show you the 14-year-old junior high picture. And then, of course, couple that with the NBC edited George Zimmerman call to make it look like George Zimmerman did the attacking and that he was the racist when Trayvon Martin was. But are you told that in the story? No. You have to go look for it to find out that this man ruthlessly racist murderer, black man killed a 14-year-old white boy just because he wanted to kill a white boy, I guess. How many ever heard? How much news was given? I can't even remember the guy's name. The black guy went into the Mall of America in Minnesota to find somebody white to kill. And he threw the 4 or 5-year-old white boy that he picked up off from the third floor balcony. The kid has miraculously survived when he should be dead. Did they charge him with a hate crime? No, they didn't. They didn't even tell you the race of the boy or the race of the man who did it. You had to look up their pictures because they didn't have the guts to tell you because it doesn't fit the media's narrative. Blacks make up 13% of the population. They commit 38% of the violent crime. Who am I quoting? I'm quoting the FBI and Candace Owens. 250% more likely for violent crime to be committed by a black against a white than white against a black. It's just facts. That's all they are just facts. And the discouraging part about this is the fact of the matter is that the media, the white elitist media, uses a good portion of the black community as pawns, as shills for their narrative to destroy this country. I'm not done with this topic. I got to finish it up when we get back, and don't go away. When we get done with this, we'll be on to abortion. Rob Walter with the Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
we're back. This is Robin Walter with Red Sky Radio here in the Robin Walter Show. One other thing, you know, I mentioned what was revealed just yesterday and then the day before, all these articles about blacks killing whites where they will not reveal the identity or the racial makeup of the perpetrator and the victim. And you got to go hunt for it. You got to go get to some website where you can pull up a picture from some independent source. But I forgot one, and this is from just 3 days ago. My son called me about somebody who had talked with him, and I looked this up to see they were bothered because in this little town, they had an armed robbery at a bank. And he was bothered by the way that the story unfolded. So I looked it up. I looked up the robbery. I found it, and here's how the man was described. The man was described as being a tall male wearing a hoodie, red and black sneakers, jeans, and something, a black coat. That's how the suspect was described. So I, in getting in touch with this listener, this is a listener that actually listened to the program and talked with my son, but I got in touch with the listener, and I said, based on the description, I can tell you that the perpetrator is black. And this party said, well, I don't think you can make that assumption. I said, I absolutely can. And here's why. And there's a reason for it. There are four things that you use in describing a perpetrator. Four keys. Height, weight, gender, and race. Who gives a rat's rear end what the color of the tennis shoes are and the color of the hoodie? That can change in 2 minutes. It can change in 30 seconds outside the bank. What doesn't change in 30 seconds or 2 minutes or a couple of weeks is the height, the weight, the gender, unless you're in California, or the race. The immutable characteristics don't change, which are what is necessary for an ID. And I said, well, tell you, I said, because they didn't give the race, that tells me the man is black. I searched around, finally found on the internet that they actually had a camera shot of the man, and guess what? The guy's black. It's easy. It happens all the time because their narrative of the left is ruined if they actually came out with the facts. And the fact is that when the facts don't come out, it only further fuels this kind of behavior. And so it's, what do they say about the guy in the Mall of America? Well, he was mentally unstable. What do they say about the guy who killed Ryan Rogers in Florida? Well, he had some mental difficulties. What do they say about the guy who killed the gal in Beverly Hills the other day? Well, he had some mental. It's always a mental problem if the perpetrator is black. It's just the way it is. I can tell you this. And if the guy is white who shoots a black, then it's obviously racist. Is my problem, like I said, with blacks? No. With a racist whites? Well, yeah, I got a problem with them. But the problem I have here is with not telling the truth. And like I said, I'm quoting Candace Owens. Here's what Candace said the other day on the Tucker Carlson show. She said, one thing I always say, Tucker, is that the left can pull a racist narrative from thin air where it doesn't exist. But when it actually is in their face, they try to avoid it at all costs. End quote. Now, what this intellectual powerhouse Candace Owens is saying is she's talking about Daryl Brooks, the 39-year-old black racist who plowed his car through the crowd, and which was all white, in Waukesha. And he was a known racist. But does that show up on any of the networks? No. She goes on to say, and I'm quoting, especially when the perpetrator is a black person against another person who's white, which obviously happens more often in this country given the fact that black Americans are the most murderous group in America by race. End quote, this is Candace Owens. She said, of course, we all know the truth. Black men are the most murderous group in America by race, and their victims are mostly black. It has nothing to do with white supremacy, but the media and politicians lie so that we never fix the real issue. BLM guarantees more black deaths. Well, she is absolutely right about that. It is the most murderous racial group as a percentage of the population. 38% of violent crime is committed by black. Well, it's about 98% of the violent crime committed by blacks is black men. But it's 38% of violent crime in the United States. Violent crime, people being maimed and killed, is by 13% of the population. Candace Owens is right. She can say it. She's a black female. She's still getting called an Uncle Tom, which is odd because she's a woman, but whatever. But she upsets the apple cart. She bothers people like the Young Turks who come out and claimed that, well, this is obviously racism on steroids by whites because the white right-wingers are the most racist, murderous group by a landslide. Well, that's interesting. But so here's a little fact. I guess I should just throw it out. And then we're going to get on to the abortion. There were about approximately 300,000 blacks imported from by slave trade. No question about it. Unjust, ungodly, cruel, and inhumane. Approximately 300,000 came directly to America from Africa. The bulk of the slave trade went to the West Indies, Brazil, and the Middle East. 12.5 million blacks were taken out of Africa. The greatest number went to the Middle East, followed by Brazil, the Americas, which is Central America, and the Caribbean. 300,000 or 300,000 plus came directly to the United States. So when you say that the murder by the U.S. whites and slaughter as the most murderous people is actually incorrect. And why can I say that? Because actually 335,000 white boys died setting blacks free. There's a big price that was paid for the racism in the United States. It's still being paid in some ways. But it needs to be balanced with facts and truth. So more white boys died setting blacks free than the number of blacks that were imported directly to the United States through the slave trade from Africa. It's just a fact that needs to be shared. That's right. You may not like what I say. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. So this is not pro-white, it's not anti-black. It's about the facts. It's about truth. White elites obviously consider that a considerable portion of the black community must be stupid or easily influenced because that's what they are doing through the media. I'm not saying they're stupid, but maybe they're the race hustlers that are out there. But the fact of the matter is BLM supports and is supported by and are pawns of elitist whites who are actually the 21st century masters. They're the 21st century slave traders. And plantation owners are the elitist whites who have cajoled and influenced blacks largely by virtue of not providing any level of balance or truth to the media stories whatsoever. And so we are headed off in the direction we're headed. Who knows where it's going? But now, to abortion. The issue that I said, there are a couple of things that I've said for over 10 years now that will cause civil war, secession in this country. It's abortion and it is gun rights. I actually think gun rights is still number one, but I've always said abortion is number two and the Gestapo and everything LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ is number three. But now we get to the case that actually could really drastically restrict abortion in this country. Will it stop it? Of course not. Because understand, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it won't make abortion illegal. It will just make mandatory abortion laws unconstitutionally supported. They're not supported by the Constitution. And there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. Goodness sakes, Harry Blackmun, the guy who wrote Roe v. Wade, took a little bit of the First Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Ninth, Tenth Amendment, or no, the 14th Amendment, the Fifth, the Fourth, and the First, whipped them together, came up with this concoction of poison which has no relationship to the Constitution, said, voila, constitutional right to slaughter your innocent, unborn human life. Even Harry's clerk referred to Roe v. Wade, the case itself, called it a jurisprudential abortion. It was so lacking in common sense, reason, and jurisprudential support. So Sonia Sotomayor comes out here. What a loser. Can I say that? Yeah, because she is a loser. She was appointed by Barack Obama, and Barack Obama only appointed losers. And Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, only point that out every time they open their mouths. She said she questioned the legitimacy of the Supreme Court because it might, how would it endure if it overturned abortion rights? She said it would make this institution have a stench, and that this would create in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading of it are just political acts. Well, Sonia, baby, here's the deal. If you're questioning that this would render the court illegitimate, the court was rendered illegitimate when it passed Roe v. Wade, because there was no legitimacy in the constitutional underpinnings, because there were no underpinnings. It was made up. And you know the only constitutional precedent for Roe v. Wade? The only one. And Harry, baby, didn't have the guts to mention it. It was the Dred Scott decision, which was the worst Supreme Court decision, certainly up to that time, where it said, basically, blacks are property. They're like real estate. You own them. They are not persons. And only persons have rights under the U.S. Constitution. That's what Harry Blackmun said about children in the womb. They are not persons. Therefore, they don't have any rights. Harry Blackmun, Roe v. Wade, is based on a precedent which was rooted in the worst case of Supreme Court racism this country has ever witnessed. Racism, overt racism, was a jurisprudential precedent to Roe v. Wade. It just wasn't mentioned. So Sonia Baby says, will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? Well, let me tell you, Harry Blackmun was the one, and the Blackmun court that passed Roe v. Wade, that was purely a political act, because those hacks could never get elected pushing Roe v. Wade, so they had to do it as a political action under the guise of the Constitution. You see, this is just, I'm trying to just settle down here. Okay, Rob, breathe deeply. Okay. Sotomayor says, will the institution survive the stench that this creates? Sonia, I got a little word for you, baby. Life doesn't create a stench. Death creates stenches. Babies born alive, allowed to live, don't stink. Dead babies, dead flesh, dead humans stink, Sotomayor. Goes on to say, if Roe were to be overturned, abortion would likely become illegal in 22 states. Well, that's an exaggeration, but glory hallelujah if it did. I mean, goodness. Okay, so you've got a 6-3 conservative balance. You know, this is interesting. It says in the Psalms that wisdom is known by its children. Wisdom is known by its children. Barack Obama, who was a fool, appointed Sotomayor and Kagan, two avowedly left-wing, pro-abort, anti-life hacks. So Barack Hussein Obama is known by the fools that he appointed, the evil he appointed. Guess what? Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, three conservatives very likely to support life, were appointed by Donald Trump. Wisdom is known by its children. Wisdom is, that's what Scripture says. Wisdom is reflected by what it produces. We produce children. That's what the Scripture means. You will be able to tell wisdom or the lack thereof by what it produces. What are the children? The children of Barack Obama presidentially are losers like Kagan and Sotomayor, who will support death at any age, at any point in pregnancy, if the woman wants to simply slaughter innocent, unborn human life. Donald Trump, who once was an anti-life pro-abort, appoints three who are pro-life. Wisdom is known by the children. Well, we get to Democrat Senator, what's her face? Shaheen, I'm not even sure how you pronounce it, from New Hampshire. It says that overturning Roe v. Wade will result in revolution. My response, bring it on, baby. When tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes an obligation. But it's a revolution of the right against the tyranny of the left. Allowing states to dictate, this isn't overturning Roe v. Wade, the states can do what they want. More people will go to California to have their children killed. That's just a fact. They'll go to Massachusetts. They'll go to virtually any state in all of New England, because all of New England is screwed up. They'll go to Illinois, where they slaughter children left and right that are in the womb. Go ahead. The fact of the matter is, what we have right now is a revolution against the Word of God. We have a rebellion against God's word, which we have put up with for coming up on 50 years. God is not slack. He will not always strive with man. His patience does run out. We will reap what we have sown. Another party said, there's 65 million women who will lose their rights if the Mississippi law is upheld. No, there are 65 million innocent unborn children will have their rights vindicated because they will be alive. So Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, am I okay calling him Chuck E. Cheese Schumer? Yeah, because he's a joke. That's where you go, Chuck E. Cheese, to laugh at what's going on. He said, quote, I wanted to tell you, this goes back to Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released a whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. End quote. This is a senator threatening the Supreme Court if it actually does its job. Well, John Roberts might come out on the right side of this, if for only reason is that he doesn't like the unhinged threatenings of people, which is actually would be an insurrection of the Supreme Court, worse than any insurrection that occurred on January 6th. The fact is, interestingly, Jonathan Turley, a great law professor at George Washington University, says these veiled threats like Shaheen's and Schumer's, meant to influence how justices interpret the Constitution, might, this over-the-top rhetoric, might actually push justices to stand more steadfast in their role. Because judges are appointed to withstand the push of public opinion. They're not there to reflect public opinion. If they were to reflect the public opinion, we would still have Dred Scott decision at that time still in force. Maggie Hansen, the loser from Democrat from New Hampshire, sorry for the redundancy, told reporters that these restrictions, quote, endangers the health of women. End quote. That's an interesting thing, since 50% of all those that are slaughtered inside the womb are women. So where do we go with this? There's a de facto secession that is in place. It's a de facto secession. States are going to split. The country is going to split over this and some of the other issues, and maybe it should. Because there's no support for abortion. The DNA argument by itself proves that the child, the innocent unborn human life. Anybody tells you that they're pro-abortion, anti-life? They just say, you know, since you're anti-life, tell me, with what part of this statement do you disagree? Abortion is the intentional killing of innocent unborn human life. They're a complete idiot, moron, imbecile if they took issue with that statement. But there's something that needs to be known here, understood, and it comes from the book of Deuteronomy. In addition to the, 22 verses I got that reveal that God was absolutely pro-life and he's on the side of the children in the womb, suffer not the children, right? That's what he said. Allow them to come to me. How can he get to them if they don't even get out of the womb? Deuteronomy 30:19 says, Moses speaking, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, Supreme Court, I'll insert that, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. If you choose abortion, you don't have any seed. You don't have any children. They don't live because they didn't have a chance to get out of the womb. So we have this de facto secession that is occurring, number one. Number two, God will bless the states to some degree that outlaw abortion, even if done by point of a gun, if it's necessary to enforce and protect innocent unborn human life. And I say that because what would have to happen? Do you have to go into an abortion clinic and point a gun at a doctor to get him to put down the knife before he crucifies and kills an unborn child? I'm not saying you go in there and shoot him, but the point of a gun is what's necessary to arrest him. Then you give him a trial, and if they've committed the abortion, then maybe they're worthy of the death sentence. But understand this. And I need to finish with this, and this is not quite the good news you want to hear. While I believe God will bless the states that secede for the right reason, and curse the states that secede for the wrong reason, meaning if California and those states leave the Union, goodbye, good riddance, understand that it may not avoid God's judgment. 2 Kings, look this up, 21:16. Manasseh, the most evil king Israel ever had. The most evil king Israel ever had. It says that there was much blood that he shed. In fact, you know what? I got a second here. I'm going to read it. As it says in verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 21. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It was biggest sin, shedding innocent blood. There is no guilty blood of a child slaughtered in the womb. It is all innocent blood, 100% innocent blood. And it goes on to say in 2 Kings 23, verse 26, that while Josiah was a good king and he repented and did everything he could to turn the country of Israel around, it says in verse 6, it says, notwithstanding all that goodness that he did, the righteousness that he exalted, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked the Lord with. we may not get out of this the way we think. There'll be the states that do right will do better, and the states that do bad will do worse. Last thing I want to say, I want to encourage you, my black brothers and sisters, I'm going to keep hitting you up with this. You guys, some of you need to take off your robes that are in the pulpit and run for political office. Some of you need to run for city councils and state legislatures and national legislatures and be the voice of Christian reason within the black community to turn this force of division that's been launched against this country by white elitists. God bless you all. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.